Mark, we had a good lesson tonight with all the youth over there, so we appreciate that. Sometimes that's why we're a little late getting over here. We already preached one time, and we get ready to preach a second time when we come over here. So y'all forgive us for being late as well. Tonight we study What Baptists Believe, point number 9. And tonight's point is this. It's on justification and righteousness. And as I was on the road today, I called my wife. I said, I want you to look and see what point number 9 is on What Baptists Believe. She said, justification and righteousness. I said, well, that's a doozy right there. I'll need to study double to preach that. This is a deep thought tonight, and if you ain't real careful, you'll go to sleep on me, because I'm not prepared enough to keep you awake tonight, okay? Now, justification and righteousness is quite a statement, and I want you to listen to what this statement is of What Baptists Believe, or at least what we at the Bethel Missionary Baptist Church believe that the Bible teaches, okay? We believe that justification and righteousness are inseparably united in the Scripture. To be inseparable, that means you can't divide it. Righteousness and justification are without division. That justification may be defined as the judicial act of God whereby He justly declares righteous ones who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that it is bestowed not in consideration of any works of righteousness which we have done, but solely by grace through faith in the Redeemer's blood. That the believing sinner is justified because Christ, having borne his sins on the cross, has made him under righteousness. That the saved, justified sinner, instead of condemnation, has peace and favor in the courts of God. And that justification secures for us every spiritual blessing that is needed for time and eternity. I'm glad when we get saved, we've got every spiritual blessing we need for time and then eternity.
Amen.
Thank God. First of all, tonight we want to look in the Scripture about justification. And I want you to be turning in your Bible. We will do some turning. The book of Acts, chapter number 13. We'll start there. My own definition of justification, theologically speaking. Now let me give you a big word, because y'all ain't never heard me use theological. Amen. But theologically speaking, justification, I believe, means this. I'll give you my country boy definition. God looks at a sinner that's been saved by the blood of Christ. There is no other road of salvation than through the blood of Christ. God looks at every sinner that's been saved in the blood of Christ and justifies him. What does that mean? That means He looks at him just as if he never sinned. That's country boy theology. Now I want to write down another definition. Justification is the remission of sin and absolution from guilt and punishment, and is the act of free grace by which God pardons the sinner and accepts him as righteous on account of the atonement of Christ. I told you, justification is God looking at you after you've been saved as righteous. So you can't separate justification and righteousness. So I want to say this, point number 1. I want to say something about the merit of justification. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved,
amen,
and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast."
Right.
We must realize Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We had no merits at all. No merits that we could have ever done to have been saved. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I want to say tonight, thank God, we are merited justification through God's saving grace. By what manner, preacher? Well, it's in Acts chapter number 13, verse number 38 and 39. We'll see God's motive. We'll see God's mercy of justification. Look at it with me. "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." Let me say, there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby you must be saved
that the name of Jesus, through his name, and by him, who? Jesus, by him, all that believe what? All that believe in his death, burial, resurrection, all that believe on him. Now listen, there's a lot of people that believe Jesus lived and believe one day Jesus died, but they don't believe he's the Son of God, and they don't believe he rose again on the third day. One old fellow said, well, I believe he was a good prophet, but the Son of God, I don't think so. And alive today? Definitely not. I said, then don't you tell me he's a good prophet, because you just called him a liar. Amen. Anybody says Jesus is just a prophet, hey, a prophet is only as good as the message he brings. And his message was that he came to seek and save that which was lost, and that he was the darling, only Son of God, and that he would lay his life down and on the third day be raised again. If someone says he was a good prophet and a good teacher, but denies the fact he's alive again, they're not looking at him as a prophet. They're just trying to use some words not to offend you. What they're really saying by their words is they believe he's an ignorant, ignorant liar. Jesus is no liar. Jesus is the true Son of God. And all that believe on him are justified from all things. What's that mean? From my previous sins. From my past. From that which haunts me. Now I've confessed to him. He's justified me. What's that mean? When the devil says he's guilty, he cussed, he was a drinker, he did this or he did that. Hey, for a lot of us, that was true what the devil said. Yeah, it was true. But when we came to Jesus and said, I've sinned and I'm a sinner going to hell, and I believe you died, and I believe you gave your life for me, and was raised again on the third day, would you save me and forgive me my sins? Right then and there, he would save a sinner, and he would get out the justified blood of Jesus Christ, and everyone that's come to him believing takes out the royal blood and pardons. When the devil says guilty, I'm glad, thank God, for God's mercy that has forgiven us. Amen. I see the mercy of God here. I see the motive of God. It's love. Look. It says, by him, all that believe are justified from all things. What's his motive? From which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. The law would have sent us to hell. It wouldn't justify none of us. But by the grace of God and the blood of Jesus, we've been justified. In other words, he looks at us just as if we never sinned. Boy, I wish my wife was here tonight singing that song. What sin are you talking about? What sin when I go to confess to him again? Something from my past that the devil's brought back to my memory that haunts me. And it's been put on the blood many years ago. Hey, when I got down one day beside the old table there at the house of God, beginning to weep over my previous sins, he did speak to me one day and said, son, I've already forgiven that. You'll have to give me something new to forgive, because that's already done away with. Woo! Glory! My sins, all my past, that which haunts me is under the blood of Jesus. That's his motive. Because he knew the law separated me, and he wanted to redeem me.
Amen.
Glory to God for his justification. What else, preacher? Well, I want you to look tonight at his manner of justification. It's in the book of Romans, chapter number 3. Would you turn there with me? Romans chapter number 3. What's the manner of his justification? What does the word manner mean? The method. What is his method of justification? How does he do it? Well, we know he does it by the blood of Jesus Christ. Right? But now think. Jesus did shed his blood. That did not justify me until something happened. What? Hey, remember when I preached on God's dynamite? And I said, for dynamite, you got to drill a hole, pack the hole, load the hole with dynamite, set the detonator cap on the top of it, get out of the way, run the fuse somewhere, get out of the way and light it. And what is it makes God's dynamite go off?
Faith.
That's God's detonator. Makes it go boom. When Lawrence Leckford went to the hospital, what was the first thing he did? Put nitroglycerin under his tongue. Made his heart go boom. Swelled out his vessels in his body so that his blood and his oxygen could get through more freely. That's God's dynamite. But it works by faith. Lawrence had to take that pill and actually put it under his tongue. It had to be applied to him. Couldn't just hold the pill and say, this will help you, Lawrence. He'd have to say, give me the pill, bless God, or it ain't helping me a bit. I have to have personal touch with it. What is it then that God's method of justifying us? What does it take? It's in Romans 3, verse 23. Let's read a few verses. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely. In other words, it didn't cost you nothing but your sin. Amen. That was on the debt side. Amen. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. There's the word we're looking for. Faith. What was God's manner? What was His method of justifying us? When we came to Christ by faith.
Amen.
When we put faith in Christ, boom, the old man was blown up, and now all things have become new. God does this by faith. We are justified by faith. Somebody said, well, I believe everybody's saved because Jesus died and shed His blood. No. It's those whosoever wills that will come to Him and confess their sin and believe on His name and trust what He did on the cross in the grave and victory over that. That is what would save one, by putting faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
One night I was preaching down here at the prison. The young man who was there to see one of his friends. When his friend had, they made all the boys come to the service. And when his friend came to the service, he had come too. So some of the family set off to the other side. Gave invitations. Some of the inmates came. Some of them got saved. Some of the family members that were there, not looking for salvation, were in the altar. One young man I got to pray with, he got gloriously saved. After the service was over, he looked at me and said, I don't understand. What have I just got a hold of? I said, son, you got a tiger by the tail. You just got saved because you put your trust, your faith in Jesus. He said, how do I do that? I said, sit down. I said, praise God. You didn't check that chair out or nothing. You just had faith that it would hold you when you sat down on it. He said, well, yeah. I said, do the same thing with Christ. Just trust Him. That He's able to do that which you've committed to Him. He'll keep it. And He's able to do and take care of you from now on. Just trust Him with you. I said, stand back. He stood back up and he said, I like that preacher. That was good.
Amen.
Amen. That's, it's that simple. Just put your trust in Him. Glory to God. But some of us got to check everything out. Nobody does that. And I guarantee you, you can check Christ out. You'll find Him well able to take care of you.
Amen.
Amen. Glad, thank God for His manner, His motive, and His mercy of justification. Let's read on some more of this. I like it because through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness. You see, there it is, justification and righteousness together. To declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. You know what past means? Here in this scripture, gone. Been away with. He's justified. For some people, sins are in the past. They're still sins in the past. They're not been away with. But you and I, when we look back, we might remember. But it's God that counts. It's what He sees that's important. It's not what the deacons think. It's not what the choir thinks. It's not what the church members think. Hey, let them think what they want to. That'll help them. But let me tell you, it's not what they think that counts. It's what God thinks and what God sees and what God knows that counts.
Amen.
That's right, Brother Junior. We go in there. Amen. That's right. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Who is it then? Now hear me. You are declared guilty. A guilty sinner. God's Word declares you guilty. God's Holy Spirit said you are guilty. Who is it justified you? Who is it said, I look at you now just as if you never sinned. I give you the royal pardon. You are guilty. The wages of sin is death. That was your death sentence. But I pardoned you. Who did that? Abraham Lincoln? No. George Bush? Uh-uh. No. Well, Preacher Walker? Uh-uh. Who justified you? The Son of God.
Amen.
Justified you.
Amen.
I'm reminded. There was a woman came to see President Lincoln back in Civil War days about her boy being court-martialed, getting ready to be probably shot or executed by some manner. She came to the president's office wanting to see him, speak with him about pardoning her son that he might receive mercy. He got there. She got there. And the secretary said, "You can't see the president. He's in a meeting. Can't see you now." She begged and pleaded with the secretary. But the secretary would not allow the woman to see the president. So she went outside. And she sat out on a little old, like a picnic table top of a seat, way back yonder, built out of wood, you know. She's crying her eyes out. Because she couldn't see the one that would pardon her son. Then up walks a little boy. And he said, "Ma'am, why are you crying?" She said, "Because my son has done something guilty of death. And I came to beg for his pardon." And he said, "Ma'am, who do you need to see?" She said, "I need to see the President of the United States of America, Mr. Abraham Lincoln himself." He said, "Ma'am, I'll get you in." She said, "There's no way. I've done gone to the secretary. I've pleaded with all his other officers." He said, "Just come with me." She took his little hand, led him up the White House steps, went to the secretary, and the secretary said, "Son, what are you doing?" He said, "I want to go on back." She said, "Go ahead." He went on back to the office, knocked on the door, and someone opened. And he said, "Father, Miss So-and-so would like to talk to you." And she fell on her knees, and Abraham Lincoln pardoned her son. Let me tell you something. How did she get to the Father? But through the Son. How does you and I get to the Father? But through the Son. He says, "Hey, what's your problem on your pew? You need to talk to the Father about an issue? Come with me."
Amen.
Woo! He justifies. Thank God for his justification.
Amen.
What else, preacher? Well, what is the moment? Romans chapter number 5, verse number 1. Back up to the very first, the very previous verse in chapter 4, verse number 25. Who is delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Chapter 5, verse 1. Now we're talking about the moment of God's justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I can read on and it'd make me shout. I don't know if it'd do you any good, but it'd make me shout. But I want to say this. You and I were justified the moment we were saved. I said to that fellow, "You got a tiger by the tail." Listen, Christopher Columbus said in 1492, is that right? Sailed the ocean blue, came over, maybe discovered America, maybe didn't, but he thought he was in America. And he said, "I discovered America." Thought he had something. Never did see the Mississippi River. Didn't see the Rocky Mountains. Didn't see the California coast. He didn't see the Appalachians and the Great Smoky Mountains. He never saw it. But he said, "I discovered America." I want to say to you, he didn't know what he really had.
Amen.
"Oh, preacher, I've discovered salvation." Praise the Lord. But do you really know what you got? Have you seen the mountains of His mercy? The rivers of His grace? Woo-hoo! I say to you, that's a lot more where that come from than you and I have right now. And we don't even know how rich we really are. We sit around all paupers on the pew where we ought to be saying, "Hey, I'm richer than the biggest millionaire in the United States of America. I'm God's child. I'm His son. Glory to God." By faith, He's justified us.
Amen.
What What else, preacher? Well, righteousness. I better hurry. What about righteousness? Well, righteousness. I believe righteousness is just the act of being right. And I can prove that by unrighteousness. It's the act of being wrong. And I believe when somebody gets saved, God declares them righteous. Because they've done the right thing. He's wiped away all their sin. Nothing's held against them anymore. They are declared, imputed to them, righteousness. And I want to say this, be very clear. I feel sometimes wonderful about His justification. To look at me just as if I've never sinned. Sometimes that just blesses me to death. But when He declares me righteous, I ain't worthy of that. I just can't hardly believe it. I mean, I know me better than y'all do. I know me better than my wife does. And if He would say I was righteous, oh, sometimes I want to argue with Him about it. Sometimes I'll say, Lord, no, there ain't no way. I ain't worthy of that, Lord. I surely ain't righteous. But He said, yes, you are. Because you're my child. And I'm in you. And now you're in me. And you're righteous. Hallelujah. God, I'm going to sit down and just cry a while. Righteous little old me. Righteous little old you. Glory to God. Man, a lot of people thought they was righteous. Would walk around like there's a big shot, the biggest thing in the city. And I knew good and well that I was the smallest around. But He said I was righteous. Hey, let me say to you something. The Bible says, there is none righteous. No, not one. The Bible says, for God hath made Him to be sin for us. Who knew no sin? That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. See, there was none of us righteous, no, not one. But God sent His Son and had Him slain on a tree to take upon Himself our sin, that you and me that believe and come by faith might be declared the righteousness of God in Him. We're righteous if we're in Him. Boy, that's deep. You get a hold of that yet? Woo! I'm righteous tonight in Him. Thank God. What else, preacher? I believe that Paul said this. He was talking about what we found in Him. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. Paul said, I've got no righteousness, but I desire righteousness. And the righteousness that I now have, I have by faith of God through Jesus Christ. You and me have no righteousness on our own. Let me say this. You and me, we sin every day. Well, at least me and Rick do. Amen, Rick. Me and you, we sin. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but me and Rick have agreed. He said amen. Me and him sin every day. And Regina, I think, is going to say amen too. Regina, yes, she said amen too. We sin every day. Now, I've been justified. Yes, I have. But now I've sinned. And sin will bring to a child of God chastisement. When my little boy tells a lie and I know it, ooh, I'm aware of that. When he cuts up church, hey, the other night, Monday night, we had 120-some people here. He started cutting up. My wife took him to the back, pulled his britches down, spanked his tail. Most of the church heard it. Heard somebody go, oh. Why? Because the boy transgressed what his mom wished for him to do. When you and I sin, as God's child, it brings on chastisement. Oh, that's not a bad thing. Because God says He chastises whom He loves. Oh, I like that. But when I go to Him and say, Father, I've sinned again. I said something. I did something. I found you once more. You know what He says? He withdraws the mighty hand of chastisement and says, you're forgiven. And takes us and loves us. With the same hand He's going to correct us with. He loves us. If little old Luke the other night, Monday night, would have been smart, when his mama hit him to the back, he'd have said, Mama, I am sorry. For what? And you know what she'd have done? She'd have hugged him and brought him right back to the pew. And not said another word about it. Case dismissed. Over with. But his pride and rebellious nature took him further than he wanted to go. Cost him more than he wanted to pay. Now, the book of Titus, chapter number 3, I want you to stay where you are. Says this, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. When you were declared righteous, what did you do to achieve righteousness? What did you do that God would merit to you and to me righteousness? What did we do? Did we help a little old lady across the street? Did we go to see a few people at the hospital today that God would declare us righteous? Let me say this. When I first started pastoring, I'd visited two or three folks in the hospital. And I went to see this fellow. And my heart wasn't in seeing him, but I went anyway. And I got up there and he said, "Boy, I really appreciate you coming. Man, bless your heart. After you get off of work, to come all the way out here and take time to see little old me." And I said, "What? I didn't want to come, but I did anyway." I said, "Good to see you. Had a little prayer meeting. Got an elevator, went down the hall, got outside. God said, something stinks." I said, "What is it?" He said, "You can't smell it because it's you. You went up there as my cause, and I'm confessing something. And God's justified it now, so I can tell you about it. But you went up there as my called servant in my name to see him. And somewhere between leaving and going, you went up there in your name. So that you'd get a pat on the back. So that you'd get appreciation." God said, "I want you to go back up there and do it right this time." "You want me to what?" I argued about it. I mean, can you imagine the embarrassment of having to go back in there? "Oh, preacher, where are you? What are you doing? You just left. Wouldn't you come back?" I couldn't say I forgot my cup. Couldn't say I thought about picking him some days. He said, "I just thought I'd bring you some flowers." But there's no excuse when you're in sin. You can justify it all you want to, but only God's justification counts. I had to go back upstairs because I knew God wouldn't let me preach next time I need to get pulpit. I had to go back upstairs and walked in. He said, "Preacher, exactly what?" He said, "Preacher, why are you going back already?" I said, "Well, just to be perfectly honest with you, I want you to forgive me." "For what? You prayed with me?" I come up here probably to be seen and noticed. A lot of preachers do that. Look at what I've done. And I want you to know I was wrong for that. And I want to come back up here and tell you, I want you to forgive me. Now I want to have prayer with you because that previous prayer didn't even go off the roof of the hospital. I want you to forgive me. He said, "I forgive you." And I said, "Now I want you to help me pray. I want the Lord to forgive you." I had to confess it. That's one of the hardest things I've had to do. But when I went back downstairs, I was running down the highway. Amen. I had victory. Why? Because He justified when I sinned. He showed me I sinned. When I confessed it, He forgave me.
Amen. Amen.
Is that a blessing?
Amen.
That's hard to confess to your church. Amen. But it helped me. Maybe sometime next time you go, you won't go in your name's sake. You'll go in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who's called us. Amen. All right. Romans chapter number 3, right where we are here. Romans chapter number 4. I want you to turn with me. Chapter number 4, verse number 4. I want to see the manner of God's righteousness. I mean, what's His method for giving us righteousness? "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of death. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." You were declared righteous not by works, not by going to the hospital and seeing Mr. So-and-so in your name, not because you picked flyers and sent them to someone. You're declared righteous because you put your faith in Jesus. Do you follow me? A lot of folks say, "Now, preacher, now listen, faith without works is dead." But did you know faith without works is still faith? Even though it's dead. It's dead faith. Now hear me. I'm going to tell you. If you want the act of righteousness declared in your life, the only way you'll achieve it is not by how much money you give to this church, not by what work you do at this church, It's not about whether you pray for the preacher three times a day. You're declared righteous because you put your faith in Him.
Amen.
And that's it.
Amen.
In fact, about justification, He says, not by work, salvation, not by work, lest any man should boast. Salvation comes righteousness and justification, and it does not come by work. What's God's method? Faith in Jesus Christ. Well, preacher, what's the moment? What's the moment I was declared righteous? Romans 10:10. I stumbled across this, and I believe He just directed me there. Romans 10:10. What's the moment you were declared righteous? Romans 10:10. Let's read verse 9 too. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto the very minute you got on your knees before God and confessed your sins, your heart believed unto righteousness. When Abraham believed God, God imputed unto him righteousness, because Abraham's believing was faith. When you and I put faith, believing, I always point to the front row, because that's where I got saved, at the Bible Baptist Church on July 13th, 1978. My legs wouldn't go no farther. As there was such conviction, I fell right there at that church that night, and that's the place I got saved. That's the place I got justified. That's the place that night He gave me righteousness. That's the night I got sealed by the Holy Ghost, baptized by the Holy Spirit into the family of God. That's a Bethel spot in my heart forever for what God did for me that night. And I thought I had something great. I just didn't know how big it really was. Christ alone, I'll close. Romans 8:1. As we close, we must conclude by this, that righteousness and justification cannot be separated. And Brother Junior has already declared this verse. Some of you didn't hear it, but Calvin then did over there. He's already said it. And we got to close right here, Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation. Now what's condemnation? It is the act of declaring one guilty and dooming him to severe punishment. The Bible says there is therefore now no declaring one guilty and dooming him to punishment to them which are in Christ Jesus. Why? Why is there no condemnation? Why is there no declaring him to be punished? Why? Because he's in Christ. He's there by faith. God's justified him. God's declared him righteous. He said there's now no more condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 31 of this chapter. And we're going to go home. Help me, Lord. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Can't say that. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us.
Yeah.
You see, who's going to condemn you? Who's going to take their pointy finger and point at you and judge you and charge you with something? It's God that justifies, not some man.
Amen.
It's God that counts. Why? Because it's Jesus that died. It wasn't just some regular man. It was God's Son, God's Holy Son that died that you and I be justified. The devils don't got enough, the devils in hell ain't got enough strength to raise their bony fingers and point at you and condemn you for something. Why? Because Jesus Christ declared you justified. He says you're forgiven. Hallelujah to God. I bet that boy whose mama had gone there to President Lincoln, when they let him off death row, I bet he said, glory to God. Thank you. Hallelujah. I ain't going to die now. I'm going to... But I'm saved. I ain't got to worry about going to the devil's hell no more. Why? Because Jesus died for me. It wasn't some man that died for me. It wasn't even Abraham Lincoln died for me. It was the Son of God that died for me and justifies me. Read on. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I'm not more than a conqueror. I'm not victorious on my own. But I am him. I didn't know what I got when I got saved. But he said I was a champion. He said I was the victor. Overall, listen, a lot of times I feel like I lose a lot of life's battles, but in the long run, we that have committed our lives to Christ and have by faith trusted him are victorious. If death comes to run a Lawrence, and it may, it's not the end. She's not the end. Her family will scratch their heads. The doctor will pull the sheet over his face. But it's not, and the funeral home will do their business. But it's not the end. It's because life will be the victor because of Jesus Christ our Lord. When death says, I got him, Lord, shall be yelled from glory. No, you know. Amen for that. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. This chapter starts off and says, there's no more condemnation. And the chapter closes saying, I'll tell you why there's no more condemnation. It's because God has justified you. And if he looks at you and you're one of his, who can be against you? Thank you, Lord, for justification and righteousness. I don't know a whole lot about it, but I'm glad we got it. Hallelujah. Stay with me now. We're closed. Amen. Please pray for that family. Oh, Brother Lawrence. They're really struggling to pray for. Amen. Heart and mind clear. Head bowed. That's Brother Donnie. Tonight, if you would, brother, dismiss us in prayer.